following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee, episode 281, about what we're into right now, here on this, whatever day it is. It's the day after the big throwdown. It's the 30th of June, it's the last day of the month, is when this is being taped, on the Sunday, of course. Yesterday, the 29th. Was the celebration of Radio Memphis and the eighth anniversary, whatever you want to call it. 8 years of being on the air with that deal. Tonight, it's the party continues. It's the seventh anniversary of the Booze and Blues show. Yeah, yeah, that's going to be wild. And it just so happened that the Delta Project is on the list tonight. So, I mean, we've got our bail money set aside. There's going to be some fun there. And it'll be what it is. That's the best way to put that. It's going to be a large time. That's tonight, 8 p.m. Central Time. If you happen to catch this before then, you can tune over to radio-memphis.com and enjoy the festivities as they celebrate the release of their brand new record called Hill Stompin'. So we've got that going on tonight. That'll be a lot of fun. So yeah, 8 years of Radio Memphis. It's not much really to say about it aside from it's another year of fun. it's been. It's been a long fight to keep going, and for the past 8 years, we've seen a lot of changes in the industry of broadcast, of which we'll get into a little bit later on, a little more detail about one specific item I want to get to. But, you know, in that time, we've seen the death of those wacky morning shows. They're just not what they used to be. Podcasting has defined, I think, what audiences really want. We've seen that everywhere we go. Podcasting is... Shows like this, of course, or any on-demand audio content, has really put a lot of power back into the consumer's hands and into the listening audience. It's available to them, and no matter what form or fashion, and they can listen to it whenever they want to, instead of just being pigeonholed into that, you know, in that crazy morning drive crap. I mean, I used to do that stuff. I mean, I did. It was brief, but I did do it. I did with 3 years of it for an FM station here. Before that, it was like 3 years of an afternoon drive type of thing. And, you know, yeah, you did what you could with it. What you, in essence, had was a captive audience. That's what it boiled down to. People listened because they didn't really have any other option. And we actually heard that. We heard that several times. We heard that from a lot of people that said, oh, we listen because there's nothing else to listen to. It's a backhanded compliment is what that is, which is fine. I get it. Oh, but here comes the internet, you see, and everything began to change. And for some strange reason, people in FM and AM radio thought that they would always still be relevant, and it turns out not so much. It's unfortunate, but they never really glommed on to that. Those big terrestrial companies never really reached out to the internet. I mean, I remember hearing about thoughts from corporate about all this internet thing is not everybody. FM is always going to be there. during a staff meeting, one of the guys in there that I used to work with had told corporate, it said, you know, each radio station should maintain its identity online. And as kind of a offhanded comment as that might be, is sort of a kind of a throwaway. Turns out, it was very true, because corporate just did away with all of it, and they plasticized everything, borrowing a term from last week. It just turned it into just this one slick piece of trash, where all the websites look the same, they have the least amount of content, they don't keep up with any of that stuff, they certainly don't utilize on-demand as they should, because they're trying to redefine it for themselves, and it's boring. It's unfortunate, but it's boring, and that's what's going on there, which leads us to the topic of the program. because it just didn't really screw up audiences as bad as people thought it would. They just moved over to something different. And it also created an interesting scenario for those who advertise in broadcast, which is the subject that we'll get into next. Stick around. It's advertisers versus the dinosaurs. It's the battle of the century. And it's next right here from Radioland.
Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at 3 local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to memphisbrewbus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink.
Advertisement is the backbone of any broadcast scenario, whether it's television, whether it's radio, newspapers is even a form of broadcast. Advertisement is what drives the thing. And I've never in my life, never understood this whole idea, this concept of paying money to subscribe to something to be served ads. I've never understood that. Cable television comes to mind. Why am I paying for cable television if every channel I have has got commercials on it? It seems sort of silly to me. But you have to realize you're not paying for cable television. You're paying for the ability to access it. That's all it is. It's the bridge that you're paying for. But still, it puts a rotten taste in people's mouths. It's like those that have now with the internet, you have subscription-based podcasts or you have subscription-based radio stations. And some of them actually do run commercials, which is sort of, to me, a little... I mean, we run commercials here, but you don't pay anything for that. We don't charge you for that here. You get this show for nothing, minus the cost you incur in accessing the internet. Wherever it is that you have access to the internet, there's this show. There's our radio station. There's Radio Memphis. And because of that, you know, by giving that away, giving that to everybody... It puts us in a position financially to say, well, to make money, to keep doing it, we're going to have advertisers. We've attracted an audience. We'll sell you time to talk to them. That's how it works. Plain and simple. Nothing too complicated about that. Or is there? Because in FM, it was certainly a whole different animal. Salespeople were,
they
weren't salespeople. They were account executives, you see. It's not mince words here. That's what they were. And I've seen these people reduced to tears in staff meetings because of the draconian rules that were placed upon them. I watched their commissions just shrink up. There was nothing there for the longest time. It became difficult to sell. And the impact of that is still reverberating now. We've seen it at Radio Memphis. Is that there have been customers of FM radio who had bought time and had advertised in FM radio, and that when we talk to them about Radio Memphis or internet radio in general, they get a little shy about it. They get a little freaky. We've talked about some of this before. One part of the problem is that when you talk about internet radio, the first thing that comes to mind is the metal station, because that's really when you go out there and you're searching for internet radio, all you find are metal stations, because they felt that the people that are running those stations have felt that, well, metal was never properly served or dealt with correctly in FM radio. And by God, that's what we're going to have now. We're going to have a damn metal station. And now they're everywhere. And they're largely run by people who don't know what they're doing. It's my opinion. Right or wrong. But most of them aren't run correctly. Because that's what they've... We gotta have our metal. And when an advertiser is looking at what has happened to the face of broadcasting, where it gone from these classy operations like FM and AM used to be to, and everybody's moved over to the web and the playing field got level. And now they feel like, well, why should I even advertise? Because there are monkeys running these stations, that play crap and they don't have any really listeners, you know? So, you know, hence the difference between those stations and what Radio Memphis is doing. Because we felt that, you know, making Radio Memphis vastly different. Yeah, we do play a little bit of metal. We have a whole show devoted to it. We also play a lot of country. We also play a lot of blues and rock. We play a lot of hip-hop, soul. We play a lot of this stuff. we've attracted a large audience because of that, and you sell that advertisement based in that game. But still, you're dealing with companies who are a little still leery about it because they had been screwed over by FM radio to the largest extent. Let's see, how should I phrase this? I was speaking to an individual who had been approached by an FM radio station here in town and dropped off a advertising packet with their prices in there. And I was shocked. I was really quite shocked at just how expensive FM radio is. And for no real good reason. Why is it that expensive? Why are people spending an enormous amount of money for a very limited run of advertisement? Because the way broadcast advertisement works is you got to beat people over the head with it. You got to run the hell out of it. You got minimum 90 days. You got to buy a 90-day package. That's really what you should do. It doesn't really matter whether it's FM, whether it's AM, whether it's internet. That stuff still is the same. 90 days. Let's get you on the air for 90 days to see what happens. And typically there's some benefit to that. But these advertisers have been screwed over so much that, you know, they would get like, you know, less than half of the spins that you get on Radio Memphis. And they would be burying those spots in the middle of the night, or we'll give you one drive time spot that just happens to be it's a 1 30-second spot that's going to run at some point between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. And that's just it. We don't know if people are going to be punching out or not, because that was another problem with FM radio, is that it was too easy that when they went into spots or a spot break, it was easy for the listener to reach over that in their car and push that button and go to another station and go back and forth. The internet, not so much. But see, the upshot to that is that on the internet, at least with Radio Memphis, we don't run commercial breaks every 10 minutes either. We just don't do that. Two commercial breaks an hour, and that's only from 9 a.m. to midnight Central Time. The rest of it is all commercial free. We do that because we have such a low overhead, but, you know, it's the way it goes. But there again is that problem. There's that perception that, I don't want to advertise with you guys because I don't think you guys know what you're doing. And then now they're pulling out of everything. They're pulling out of radio. They're pulling out of terrestrial radio. They're pulling out of television. Television's having a hell of a time, especially local television. And part of it is social media. They have been sold this weird bill of goods from Facebook that says, you know, social media advertising is really kind of where it's at. I get it. There's a lot of people that are on Facebook or Twitter or wherever, and they get more bang for their buck. It would appear they get more bang for their buck. You know, you get a sponsored post, and it's shown to X number of people. You have 20,000 people who like your page and you're a business. And every time you write just a generic post, hey, today we have a sale on this or that, and it goes out to maybe four or five people. If you want to reach all of them, you got to pay Facebook for that, because it's what they do. They hold your audience hostage. And even that is undergoing a lot of change as well. Sure, they make their money in advertisement because people give it to them, and it's cheap. But does it result in any decent return of investment? I don't believe so. It gets people to stay on Facebook, to go to your page and like it, or like the post or engage with the post, but then they come to your shop? Or do they click the link that takes them to your website? Typically, no. It opens up conversations about people that say, or about this thing that you say you're selling something, and somebody might go, hey, it's a shit, don't buy it. And you got to deal with all of that. Because I have seen that. I've seen that a lot. And I've never seen an advertiser go on to Facebook and run for a while, and it goes away as they do, and then come back. I've never seen them come back. I've seen them the first time. I've seen them. And they'll run for, you know, a month or so. And there they are. But they don't ever really come back, because they've learned they're not really getting anything for it. Yeah, sure, it's cheap, but it's more like a newspaper ad, if you think about it. Even if it's a video that you're putting up, not too many people are going to, you know, unmute a video of you talking about your brand of mayonnaise. It's just not going to do it. They really don't. And because of that, these people that are trying to get ahead in business and they're advertising through social media feel that they're getting A, more bang for their buck, but B, they feel like they're getting somewhere with it when they're not. It's an illusion. That audience is all an illusion because it requires something on the part of the viewer of that ad or the listener of that ad to act upon it. And that's where you get your return of investment. The same thing could be said about commercials in general, you know. But the thing about radio is that as you're sitting there at your desk doing it is whatever it is that you're doing, whether you're working on your monthly report or you're, I don't know, perusing the web, you're reading articles, whatever the case may be. You got the radio on, you got some music going on, and the commercial break comes up, and the commercials just kind of go in one ear and out the other, but occasionally something sticks, and then away you go. It's all about getting the word out there. It's passive. That's the beauty of it. It's a passive form of advertisement. It's just there. And the next thing you know, you're out driving around, and you remember hearing a commercial about whatever thing that you just happened to catch your attention, and there you are. Next thing you know, you're standing in the grocery store at that aisle looking that product right in the face, and you get your hand out to grab it. That happened because of advertisement. It's plain and simple. It's affected us all. We're all subject to it, you know? It's not a brainwashing by any means. It's just letting you know that this certain thing happens. This certain product is available. And that's what kind of gets me about people who look at social media as going, oh, this is the way to advertise. This is the best way to do it. There'll be those who will argue with me on that. That's fine. Argue away. It's all opinion. It's what I think versus what you might think, which is all well and good. Banner ads are another thing. Sometimes people will say, well, that's really kind of where it's at on the internet. Let me tell you something. At Radio Memphis, we give those away. We give those away. If you buy commercial time with us, if you buy an ad with us, we give you the banner ad. Because it's think about it. When you're cruising along on the web, most people are not just going to pick up they're going to go, oh, check out this thing I saw on the web. They're not going to click on it. They're going to look at it. And if they're like me, which I don't know, I would think that I'm not the only one that does this, you'll open up a new window and search for that thing instead of going through the banner ad. Seems like a weird way to do it. But that's what people do. They really do. Therefore, that banner ad becomes sort of pointless because they'll look back at the traffic and go, oh, well, it was shown X number of times, but it was only clicked on this, you know, a significantly smaller number of times. Well, of course it did. It doesn't matter how compelling your banner ad is. It's just the way it is. All it does is acts like a billboard. You're driving down the road. You see a thing. You see a service. You see a product. As you're going, and it just sticks in your head. They don't give you much detail on a billboard because you got 6 seconds. Is that what it is? Exposure to a vehicle zipping by about 6 seconds or so before it finally clicks. It's sort of how that works. If you hear an ad 7 times, you'll have it down. That's kind of how some of the psychology behind advertisement. There's a bunch of it out there. I'm not going to get into all of that, but that's one of them. You do anything 7 times, it becomes a habit. 7 days of going to the gym will make you a pretty habitual going to the gym type of person. But if you hear a commercial 7 times, you're going to remember it. You're going to know it. You may hate it, but you'll know it. You might even like it. Because there are some very clever commercials that are out there, and that's what it is. They're all vying for your attention. That's why you'll often see commercials that are incredibly amusing. The people that do all the ads for Geico, that firm that does, I don't know who it is, but they do a great job. Those are great spots. Even the short 15-second spots, man, they're great. Even the 10-second spots, the blink ads, as they called, they're great. They're brilliant. Am I a Geico customer? No. But I like their ads. You know, they remember that was in the 90s, the Bud Light commercials. Man, they were incredible. And they tried to bring it back with that stupid medieval thing with the knights. It had a there was a catchphrase that they were trying to ingrain into people, and you would see it every once in a while. I forget what it was. That's how memorable that was. It was a great idea. It just wasn't executed correctly. But there again, I knew it was. I knew it was Bud Light. Do I like Bud Light? No. Were their ads good? Yeah, at one time they were hilarious. At one point, Budweiser in general had some great ads. It comes and it goes. There's a lot of creativity that's out there. And to express that creativity in a way that is meaningful and get your attention, well, then advertisement seems to have worked. But I don't think you can even get anywhere close to that in social media. You really don't. You might think you do, but you don't. You know, the rules are changed, of course, but I think there's a lot of things about advertisement in general that hasn't changed and probably won't. There's a lot of what is legitimate out there that make advertisement what it should be. And it should be attention-grabbing. It should be part of the content. You see this stuff in shows like this. In podcasts like this, where all of a sudden the host just devolves into an ad about dog food or whatever the hell he's talking about. And it's these call to action things. And these guys have been sold on this idea that those ads work. They don't, not necessarily. Some, I guess, they may have a slightly higher percentage of working than others. I don't like those because I do believe that it is it's sort of a ploy. It's a lie by the host. I mean, clearly he's shilling for something. Let me tell you about the great night of sleep I had last night on my bed from whatever. And they go into this pitch. And next thing you know, you're being served an ad. It's kind of deceptive. It's a bit rude. It really is. I would rather there be certain breaks, if you will. This is why they're called a break. It's a break from the flow. There was one toward the beginning of this program. There's one coming up here in just a little while. And then we get back into it, and then we wrap it up, and that's away you're done. It's 2 30-second ads. You ever notice that? And a promo. 2 30-second ads in this whole show that runs about a half an hour. 1 minute of ad. That, to me, seems reasonable. Audiences find that reasonable. They will tend to pay more attention to something that seems more reasonable than those that just seem sort of, I don't know, slimy. I mean, I know live ads are a thing. We do them. I do them all the time. There's a correct way of doing it as opposed to a wrong way of doing it, because you can do it wrong. And if you don't know what you're doing, they're going to come off sounding really horrible. They really are. They're just going to sound really shitty if you don't know what you're doing. Once again, the upshot of having the internet and broadcasting across the internet is you have people who think they really know what they're doing when they don't. And nor do they show any intent. They show any intent on learning how to do it. That's something else. They may sit there and go, "Well, I want to do this," but they don't bother to reach out and find out from somebody else how it's done. You know, it's a learned craft. That's for sure. You have to pay attention to what is out there, and how to do it correctly, or you're going to sound like ass. You really are. And people are not just going to listen to it. I go back to those metal stations that are all over the web. Oh, my God. You don't have to go far to find one. And they all suck. Just about every one of them suck. Because they feel they are doing something that is unique, when in reality, they're not. They all sound the same. You ever notice that? With people, they want to be so unique that they wind up following other people. Oh, look what so-and-so is doing. I could do a better job. And then they go out there and they do it, and they're doing exactly what the guy that they're trying to beat is doing, so now they sound the same. Now you got two of them. They're all trying to out-dick each other on the web, and it's not working. I've once mentioned to you the secret to show business, in that you, and it's simple. You give the audience something they've never seen nor heard before. It's an easy statement to throw out there. It's hard to put it into practice. But that's what it boils down to. Advertisement's the same way. advertisers will flock. They'll flock to stations and people that, you know, are doing unique things. If they know about it, of course. They may not always know about what it is and what's up, but they'll be there. Sure they will. Sometimes it takes one savvy advertiser to look at something and go, this is cool, this is different, and this speaks to me. And I like what's going on. I'm going to support it. And when that one thing happens, then there's a domino effect. Kind of what it really boils down to. So, you know, FM radio, minus there's one form of FM radio that I don't think will ever go away. The sports talk. Lord have mercy. They sell a lot of ads over there. And they do that because no one else is there. That's the only thing people are listening to FM radio for now. And even then, they're talking about their podcasts because they're doing it right. They got like so much time on the air, and then it's like, hey, we're going to get into a much greater detail on our podcast, and you can go get it. And it's what is there about? What is there for? Newspapers. I know a guy who used to work for a paper, and he said the only thing that people like newspapers for now are food recipes. That's redundant. Recipes and sports. That's it. Because we live in such a quick news cycle that if I want to find out what's going on at any particular time, all I have to do is go to the web and I can find it. And newspapers never really embraced that wholly. That's another one. They put up a paywall so they can serve you full-page banner ads. Newspapers that do that are just... They're killing themselves. Either give away your content with no advertisement or allow it open to the public and put advertisers on it. Just one or the other, goddammit. Don't do the same. I get it. When it was a printed version, you had to pay for a subscription because they had to get it to you. It was a physical printed thing, but it's online, for God's sake. What does it cost? It's nothing. Very little to run that sort of thing. Your advertising costs should eat that up immediately. Hell, there's a newspaper here in town that comes out once a week that's completely free. And they do a better job than the daily one. Lord have mercy. And they've got ads in it. They got an online presence. They're kind of doing it correctly because it's one of the more well-read papers around here. Just kind of weird. But I digress. It's getting to the point now where the fight is between the advertiser themselves and the platforms by which that they could work with. But now the advertisers, they're scared because they've been screwed over by FM radio or by television for whatever reason. Or they're put into a position where they have to pay, people having to pay money to get to them, which just seems sort of silly and double dipping. So you got this fight going on. And you got these other guys that are still running these old businesses, these old FM stations, and they're trying to get into new media like the internet. And they think they got it all figured out because they're just rewriting the rules. It's bullshit. They don't. They don't get it. You think Clear Channel gives a shit of how the internet works? No. Well, Clear Channel's not even a thing anymore. Whatever it is. iHeart, which is a dumbest name for a company. But the whole point of that was, oh, well, we're just going to do what we do. You're like those two metal stations that are battling it out online. You're just doing what everybody else is doing, and you sound like everybody else. Nothing worse than some big giant corporation trying to be hip and groovy because they can't do it. They can't be themselves because they've lost their identity. And that's part of the problem. So when you're dealing with this sort of thing across the board between advertisers and everything like that, there's your problem. There's your issue. This is why everybody's a little nervous. It'll settle down eventually. I'm fairly certain of that. But this is kind of how that works. When you're dealing with people that want to advertise and the audience, you got to go where the audience is. Where's your audience at? And they sit there and they go, Instagram? Fuck you. Let me tell you something about Instagram. Instagram is a very popular app, right? It's a very popular social media platform. But did you know that Pornhub gets more visits than Instagram? Explain that to your advertiser.
Wizards is Midtown's premier gift vape and alternative smoke and CBD emporium. Make Wizards your CBD headquarters. Great in-store deals on a huge variety of CBD products. CBD oils, lotions, soaps, and CBD dog treats. Too many to mention here. Plus, Wizards has jewelry and accessories, incense and candles, and a wide variety of outdoor stuff. Get in to see it all. 1999 Madison Avenue opens 7 days a week, 10 to 10, or online at wizardsmemphis.com. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Must be 18 or older to buy smoking-related material.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
I've always believed that us as a species have always would strive to do one thing and one thing only, and that's just to be okay. You know what I mean? Just to be somewhat happy. To be somewhat unencumbered by stress and all that. But by God, there's stress and there's drama everywhere, and it gets so goddamn old. Because that's what we want to do. We just want to be happy. We want to do things that please us. We don't necessarily want to be in a position where we're having to be beat over the head with reality everywhere we go. Wouldn't it be great if our reality was to be nothing more than happy? Wouldn't that be possible?
That's a pipe dream, bro. It's never going to work out like that.
Well, of course not, because, you know, reality gets in the way. And that kind of sucks. I get it. But let's be honest here. If it wasn't for the pursuit of some type of happiness, then, by God, we'd all be really depressed.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Right, so there you go. That's what's coming up next time here on the program. Thank you so much for downloading, streaming, tuning us in, all that other stuff. I've determined that I am not like the guys on YouTube or the other podcasters that go like and subscribe. I never really do that. I'll mention it. I'll say, hey, if you happen to be in a position to comment about it or share it, please do. Or don't. It's like the most, you know, this guy doesn't really give a shit about his own show type of attitude. I'm tired of, I know you are too, tired of hearing it, like and subscribe. It's just dumb. Stop it. If someone genuinely likes what you're doing, they're going to follow you. That's kind of how that works. You don't have to go, you know, instead of go, man, this is a really cool show. And then they'll go, you be sure and like, oh, I could do that? Look, people are stupid, but they ain't that dumb. Well, that's stupid, because there's a difference between stupidity and being dumb. You know that, don't you? You really do. Stupidity is not really curable. That kind of goes down to the bone. Being dumb, you can fix. You can fix dumb. All you have to do is educate, man, or read. That fixes dumb. That's dumb is up there with ignorance. That's easily stupid. That's just, man, sorry, pal. You're just born stupid. That's the life. It's the life you are destined to lead. Filled with stupidity. Oh, suffering the morons. It's another day of paradise. That's what it is. And I got to go. I got to get out of here. So, reminder, if you're going to be hanging about later on this evening on the internet, 8 p.m. Central Time, radio-memphis.com. It's the Blues of Blues show celebrating their 7th year on the air as such. And with that, we'll have the Delta Project. So, with that, I got to go. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. For God's sake, stop shooting each other. All right. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.